HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Okay, so today I'm joined by Niamh Graham. Niamh is Senior Vice President of Global Human Experience with WorkHuman. Niamh, you're very welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Thank you, Declan. Delighted to be here with you.
No, great to have you here. For those people out there who don't know what WorkHuman do, do you want to give a little bit of an overview of what they do and indeed what you do?
Yes, absolutely. Well, my name is Niamh Graham, as you said there. I'm Senior Vice President of Human Experience at WorkHuman. We're based in Dublin and we're headquartered actually in Dublin and in Boston. And my role really covers the full remit, anything to do with our humans, our culture, our places, our brand, developing our talent, adding to our talent. I'm responsible for all of those elements at the company here in WorkHuman.
Excellent.
So what do we do?
Well,
we're a SaaS-based technology company, and we're all about creating and transforming cultures in very large organizations all across the world, and doing so in a very modern human way. So creating human workplaces through our technology of continuous performance and also social recognition. So we're very, very on trend at the moment, as you can imagine, obviously, with companies trying to recreate and build their cultures post-pandemic and keeping their employees connected as we move forward in a very hybrid working model also. So very, very, very important and very, you know, very, very sought after at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a boom time for those very areas. What's a human workplace, Niamh?
Well, a human workplace is one where there's high trust levels. It's one where you lead with humanity. You put your people at the center of all of your people strategies, but you also use human-centered technology as well to make sure that you have those data points, the insights, but also that you're creating humanity across the workplace to enable people be connected, to feel that they have purpose, that sense of belonging, and very much about creating, as I said, something that feels very appropriate at this particular point in time. And from a business perspective, what that leads to when you have a highly engaged, high performing, connected workforce, from a business perspective, that leads to, great productivity, great innovation, great inclusion. And actually, we've just launched a new part of our WorkHuman Cloud, which is our inclusion advisor, which is all about creating in the moment coaching, mitigating unconscious bias, having real-time coaching messages, and obviously to be fully included in a workplace, whether you're on-site or off-site, is hugely important at the moment. So we're delighted to launch that. And a human workplace is one where, you're creating a community, you're creating a culture where everybody feels that they play a part in it and want to be a part of it. They feel seen, they feel heard, they feel engaged on a personal and a professional basis as well. So part of our WorkHuman Cloud relates to celebrating and celebrating human moments, not just around connecting, but performance as well. And then finally, in around celebrating those human moments, those life events, those key milestones, professionally, whether it be milestones or also whether it be, your birthday or a new marriage or, a new child in the family or a new puppy dog. Lots of new puppy dogs these days. So celebrating those and sharing those in a very social way across the platform with your colleagues across the whole company. So quite unique and very, very human.
It is an interesting time for organizations. They're coming, lots of them are coming back to the office. Lots of them are talking about hybrid and working out what that means to them. How do you get a consistent culture across the various different working sort of methods, if you like, or the way that different people will work? A lot of companies now not only are saying about, remote working, but also when people work, it mightn't be as linear as it was in the past. It mightn't be that 9 to 5. How do you maintain a consistent experience?
Absolutely. Well, I think a lot of companies are in the same place right now. I was actually just at a CHRO event last week. And, this was definitely one of the key talking topics across around the room, if you like. And really, many companies would have operated in a fully on-site way pre-pandemic. Everybody obviously shifted gears dramatically to the opposite end of the scale, now going fully remote and living through Zoom and working through Zoom, obviously, throughout that period. And now we're entering a new way of working whereby a lot of companies are offering that flexibility. So how do you wish to work? What is your preference for working, your way of working going forward? So whether that be fully remote, a hybrid way, or fully on-site as well. So we're looking at that ourselves at the moment, and we've actually given out a survey to our employees asking them, well, what would your preferences be? And then for us as a company, we're looking at, well, how is that going to impact and influence how we are going to work going forward, how we're going to create an on-site experience, but also create a virtual experience as we move forward. So taking all of the good things that we've learned as a result of how we've been working for the last year and a half, bringing that forward and bringing that forward in a combined manner now as some of us go back to the office place environment. So it's additional, obviously, from a HX or HR perspective in terms of, you know, organizations need to be prepared. You need to have technology going forward. You need to create experiences and continue to create those human moments that matter to an organization, that matter to employees as well. So, you know, humanity from the top is something that we're very focused on, leading with humanity. People are in different places, even thinking about returning to an office environment. You know, there's different levels of anxiety. There's, you know, different things people have to think about now. Obviously, maybe school runs, you know, who brings the dog for a walk at lunchtime and things like that. So that's a big part of it, you know, listening to your employees, being connected to your employees and understanding where they're at and what their particular circumstance is. There's that flexibility and support part of it as well. So even things about, you know, we're looking at ways of, you know, inviting people back into our workplace and what does that look like, and having different sessions and focus groups for people in different situations and tips in terms of how to do that in actual fact. And there's the productivity and wellness aspect of things as well, of course. And, you know, people have certainly been enjoying their walks or their lots of exercise and creating, you know, new experiences in the workplace. A lot of companies didn't have things like on-site fitness or wellness classes. And that goes from a physical perspective, but also a mental perspective as well. And trust is very important, because at the end of the day, you know, we've all lived through this most unusual time. And, you know, trust is really important, that employees feel that they can trust their leaders, trust their organizations to look after them, to put them first, and to definitely, you know, make sure you meet people. So one of the things we're doing is meeting people where they are. So as we approach Q4, not having kind of an actual date set in stone of, you know, full return back to the office, but more through the course of Q4, if people want to pop in and out a few days here or there, a few hours here or there, we're meeting people where they are, both mentally and professionally as well. And that's really important. So, you know, moving forward, I think a lot of companies need to focus on that and listen to their employees, but be very purposeful in how they want to have their future ways of working. And that goes across the board, from facilities to development to coaching to wellness. And you know, what our employees are looking for. Actually, we did another survey. We like to listen to our employees. We like surveys. We did a kind of a mood tracker pulse survey. And what our employees are looking forward to coming back to our workplace is food, fun, and fitness. And they're kind of the main buckets, if you like. So we're creating what that experience looks like right now, in terms of preparing for our employees coming back to an office environment. But we'll need to make sure we do that in a remote way as well going forward.
Food, fun, and fitness. I like it. And it is an interesting rub, isn't it? Where some people, will remain remote or primarily remote, and then others will be in the office. I think a real concern for a lot of people, depending on their career stage, is that whole sort of out of sight, out of mind aspect to it. So I do think it's important for companies to address that. I might come back, Niamh, on the tips you guys had, you talked about earlier about people returning to the office. Before that, though, I know recognition is a key thing you guys like to do, and it's a key part of your platform. Why do you think it's important that companies, you know, really put some work into recognizing those milestones that you mentioned?
Yeah, absolutely. So recognition comes in a couple of different ways, if you like. There's obviously, you know, recognizing and how that feels for the giver and the receiver of recognition. And doing that socially, you have kind of a crowdsourced view and perspective on that. So when we talk about social recognition, it does have that visibility across an organization. So it's very inclusive, as I mentioned earlier on, but it's very much about creating a community and creating perspective Not just from the individual's perspective, but from a team perspective, from a functional perspective, from a company-wide perspective, and connecting employees not just to each other in all of the different ways I mentioned, but also connecting to company goals and company objectives, creating what we call as aims, which are our, kind of our objectives, creating aims associated with company priorities, strategic projects and initiatives, and having that be very visible and very transparent. And so what we see is that our employees feel that they are connected not only to their colleagues, but also to the company's mission, part of the vision actually in contributing to the vision of the organization. And so when people feel that sense of positivity, that sense of, you know, inclusion, it gives people and our employees absolutely a sense of meaning. It creates diversity of thought as well. So it's not the old fashioned kind of top down hierarchical approach. It's very much creating a human workplace experience whereby every employee is part of that experience. They're contributing to it, but they're also, you know, being celebrated, but they're also the recipients of it as well. So it's a very positive, you know, from a cultural perspective, but also, you know, creating that community, creating that social connection, because people have, I think, have missed that during this period. They've you know, been disconnected in so many ways, and creating that connectivity, having continuous check-ins, for example, creating conversations, sparking conversations, is very, very important. And, you know, certainly that creates for a better workplace experience, no matter where you are, no matter what role you're in. If you feel that you're connected to and have visibility and are able to contribute to an organization and an organization's success, that's something that's powerful. It creates a very thriving organization and a thriving culture, and people want to be part of that. You know, we hear very often that, you know, people's personal values, they want those to match a company's values as well. And we see a lot of people joining our organization because of what we do. We're in the thank you business, we're in the social recognition business. We work with, you know, massive, prestigious multinational companies all over the world, and we're transforming their cultures and working very closely with them through human-centric technology and methodology, of course, and to contribute to that from an external perspective, but to be part of that and develop that. So we have our IT hub here in Dublin, and to be part of creating something, creating technology that is so transformational and creating so much positivity, just fills people with pride and fills people with purpose. I might share one particular example. You know, we have some pharmaceutical customers, many pharmaceutical customers, and many of them have been involved very closely with either the rollout of the vaccinations or testing equipment and things like that. And we created a whole kind of thank you healthcare moment for them, and also for recipients of some of those, you know, all of those, you know, medicines and things like that. And created, you know, it was a unique moment in time, I suppose, whereby some of our customers used our technology in a completely different way to thank their employees for working on, as I said, whether it was a vaccination rollout or some of the testing equipment, and to be able to be part of that, to, you know, a moment in history, a moment in one's career, to have developed technology that has been used by such organizations during this period is just quite unique. And I think it's something that people will remember for a long time to come. So we're very connected to our customers and very connected to what they do as well. And so it's just you know, something we take with pride at the moment, certainly having gone through the pandemic and seen how our customers have used our technology in a completely different way, through team thank you awards, through recognizing their employees for going above and beyond each and every day. So quite a unique place to be, and we're delighted with obviously how we've impacted those organizations as well.
Yeah, very unique times. In terms of that overall cultural transformation, what other aspects do you guys look at, or what other aspects do you guys feed into for your clients in terms of helping them with that cultural transformation?
Yes, Declan. So, well, you know, social recognition is a big part of it. Performance management, so the new way of performance management, not the old-fashioned kind of traditional annual performance review that everybody dreads, but more by continuous check-ins. In our own company, we have our own program called Spark a Conversation, Conversations in actual fact, and it's about ongoing check-ins. It's about being very open, I suppose, and very agile in our approach in terms of what performance looks like. And I touched on that a little bit earlier on. So that's a big part of the new way of working, the very human way of working, continuous check-ins. And life events and celebrating life events is very important also as well. So what are those key milestones? They could be promotions, they could be new qualifications, they could be years of service. And on a personal note, they could be, you know, life events, major life events, birthdays and, you know, other types of anniversaries. And so being very inclusive from a personal and professional case from, you know, where one is at in one's life. So there's different elements to it. There's social recognition, there's performance, there's life events. And then there's, as I mentioned, the inclusion elements and the inclusion advisor. And then from a business perspective, it's all of those data insights and connecting all of those data points across all of those different programs. And so what does that feel like when you think about a company culture? So all of the programs are set up with values, company values associated with them. So a company, any company, ourselves included, can see how our employees being recognized and on what, based on what values, company values. So, for example, ours include respect. They include determination, innovation, for example. And so we can clearly see and identify how our values are being lived across our organization. We can look at that geographically, we can look at that functionally, we can look at that individually. And that's really important when you think about culture, seeing if your values are being lived and how those behaviors are being manifested in an organization. And you can look at that from the very human aspect, from a leadership aspect, and connecting all of that together. So very informative from a HR perspective in terms of, driving culture, being very purposeful in driving culture, because at the end of the day, people join companies and they want to join great companies. I don't know, do I know of anybody who wants to join a not so great company? I think everybody I know probably wants to join a really great company that has really great culture and really great people. And if you can have the data to prove that, and if you have the data to improve on that as well, that sets companies up for success. It has positive impacts in relation to retention. It has positive impacts in relation to performance, to innovation, to collaboration, to teamwork. The list is endless, I would have to say, in terms of, you know, how technology, human-centered technology, plus human-centered people strategies, plus all of the data insights and looking at that holistically, and sets companies up for success from a culture perspective and all of those business associated reasons as well that come along with that.
And Niamh, just, you touched on, I think you called them aims for your own organization. What do you think that looks like going forward? I think, is it fair to say, are you seeing with your clients that it's moving away from making X number of widgets per week or month or whatever that might look like locally, more in terms of how you go about it and more around, you know, behaviors?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, behaviors are really important. So when you have, you know, key company core values and how those, how those values are lived, what are the behaviors associated with that? So, you know, leading with respect, leading with trust, is one example there, but also, and I think, you know, industry to industry varies in terms of what those objectives are, what those goals are, whether they're KPIs for getting things out the door, or whether it's how quickly you're answering calls, or, you know, what your rates are for production, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, in tech companies, I think it's around service levels when you think about customers and you think about customer retention, certainly from a development perspective, you know, what are you developing? Are you ahead against of your competitors, win-loss analysis and all of that? So there's lots of different measurements in relation to how different companies operate, depending on what industry you're in and what part of the business that you're representing, of course. But I think holistically, when I think about performance and I think about, you know, it's understanding what your model is and understanding what roles people play from a cultural perspective, but obviously from a functional perspective. I think companies need to be agile. I think if there's anything that we've learned over this last year and a half, it's how to adapt and how to be agile and how to be resilient and how to overcome or go around obstacles. We've all had to do that in all of our different ways. And that's really important. And, you know, from company to company, from culture to culture, you know, having a mindset of continuous improvement, having a mindset of, Being resilient and being, very positive, I would say, and trying to be positive when things don't seem so positive all around you. And they're really important. So there's different milestones, I think, in terms of how companies create cultural ambitions, but also business objectives as well. And to mix the two together is obviously, critically important, because you can't get there if you don't have your people with you on the journey, and you can't get there if you don't have the innovation, and you can't get there if you don't have great talent being part of your organization that are fueling positivity, that are fueling culture, but are obviously also being productive and being innovative. So, I think holistically looking at it from all angles is really important. And having your people being a core part of that journey, and having that aligned vision and that aligned ambition is really, really important as well.
So as we go into the next phase of this, which, slight generalization, but it looks like it'll be hybrid working for a lot of people who can, obviously, who aren't, don't have to be in a particular location for a particular reason. A lot more remote working than was previously the norm. So what are you guys keeping in mind in terms of, keeping people connected? How are you setting up not simple things, but things like performance management? What are you looking out at?
Yeah, great question. And I think it's one on everybody's mind at the moment, everybody wants to get it right first time around. But, we all put our best foot forward, and this is kind of unknown territory for us all, I would have to say, as leaders in an organization, as a people leader myself, obviously, as a leader of a team, functionally and globally. So I think the important thing is to, take perspective, across from the various different groups, whether they be leaders, whether they be functional leads, but making sure that, it's the dynamic is going to be really important in terms of bringing people, continuing to bring people along on that journey, and to be really, really inclusive. There's no point in being flexible and saying you can work from home or you can have a hybrid way of working, and then you're not being inclusive, because you're not going to set everybody up for success then. So having that view is really important. I know a lot of companies are looking at different roles that they're looking to take on in their organizations. So key strategic roles in terms of whether it's business partners, whether it's engagement partners, to make sure that their companies are focusing on their employees, no matter where they are, physically, where they're working physically, rather. So that's really important. So in terms of looking after your people and having people looking after your people going forward. So a lot more around engagement, a lot more around communications, a lot more in terms of business partnering. I think there's certainly those key roles and those key elements are going to be front and center for a lot of organizations. And developing those people as well. So again, a lot of people are talking about, well, if I'm not seen, I won't get heard. I won't be, my performance won't be seen. And so again, being fully inclusive and certainly from a performance and a development perspective, again, we need to be fair and consistent across the board. And so having processes and having technologies to make sure that all of those hidden gems are seen, that they're heard, is really, really important. And again, having, technology, a platform, a process, and to enable that is going to become critically important going forward. And I think that's what we're going to see over the course of the next, 12 to 18 months, is that employees will themselves navigate through this, and maybe they'll change their preferences as well, because maybe they'll feel like maybe they're missing out on the social interaction, on the fun, on all of the conversations that happen at the coffee machine or in the stairwell. So I think, people are quite anxious now in terms of, oh God, do I have to choose one way or another? And I think, certainly us as a company, we're being flexible in that regard as well. So what we're saying to our employees is, well, you may choose one way now, but come January or February, you might feel a bit different. And that's okay. Again, we're meeting our employees where they're at, and I would encourage other companies to do that. There's a lot of competition out there in the marketplace in relation to great talent. And, last year, I think it was about all around the great retention of 2020. People were not so keen to move. They wanted to wait and see what happened. And then this year, 2021, is obviously the period of the great, resignation or the great swap, where people are testing out other different organizations. And what's going to be important to them is that they will want to feel included, but that they'll have the flexibility so that nothing is set in stone, and that companies will be agile to how they want to work and will be, embrace that. Again, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. We all change our minds and we all have different motivators. And I think as we come out of the pandemic, which everybody's looking forward to, obviously, and having that sense of normalcy come back again into our lives, people will adjust. You know, kids will be settled back in school again. And, you know, certainly the vaccination rate here is absolutely tremendous where we're at right now. Who would have thought a couple of months ago we'd be here? I mean, it's just tremendous to see, you know, where the country has come. And I think people, as they start readjusting their lifestyle, readjusting their work style, that flexibility is going to be very important. And being fully inclusive is going to be very important as well, certainly from an employee's perspective and from a cultural perspective also.
Yeah, look, really good point on, you can make one decision today and have a different frame of mind in a month or in the coming months, it could all change.
Yeah, exactly.
I know I certainly went through a roller coaster at the beginning of it where it was like great to be at home all the time. And then it was like, okay, I need to get out of here, you know. So definitely ridden that roller coaster. Point you touched on just before there was around some new positions. Do you think there'll be new positions within HR to maintain this mm-hmm. new environment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There's lots of companies looking at this because it's just operating in a different way. And again, companies need to be agile and they need to be mindful of where their employees are and how they're working. And so, you know, the traditional approach of just having an on-site, you know, facilities team or just an on-site events and engagement team, that needs to change. Many companies have gone virtual in terms of doing the fun virtual events. I would probably say there's nothing like the fun and sociability of an in-person event, but we've all been there. We've all done the Friday afternoon Zoom social calls, and we've done the kind of the virtual concerts and the virtual cooking programs and all of those sorts of great things. And it was great, great, great fun. And so moving forward as well, I think, you know, companies and teams are going to look a little bit different because you have to have that virtual perspective. That combination approach is going to be really, really important. And even for leaders, we're looking at our leadership program at the moment, and the kind of Spark leadership program is what we're calling it. And again, there's been a lot asked of people leaders across the world in terms of how they've led in this virtual way. And, it's not been easy. Absolutely, it's not been easy. When you think about a people leader, their role in an organization, typically it would have been with their people all around them, not in their home offices, and people having different things to deal with at home, obviously. But now as we move forward, there'll be, again, a different ask of leaders to lead in a hybrid way, to be very flexible, to be very agile. And so we're definitely focusing on creating toolkits and communication channels to support our people leaders to be able to move forward very effectively and very successfully as well. And equally, even in our own team in HX and Human Experience, again, we've asked so much of our own team in terms of, you know, moving the business forward, you know, hiring new people virtually. And again, it's really important that we make sure that going forward, we take all of the great learnings that we did in the last year and a half and bring that forward as part of our strategy, our continuous ongoing strategy, as we welcome people back into our offices, but as we definitely have people working in a remote way as well. One of the things, actually, I know we and many other companies found that our remote employees who were always remote from the beginning, before COVID, and they said during this period, this has been the most connected that they felt to our organization and our culture, which is, you know, massive because, you know, lots of companies, I suppose, wouldn't have focused in that way. And so now, you know, definitely focused on making sure that they continue to feel that they continue to feel so connected. So definitely a shift in focus. And as I said, taking the good from the last year and a half, moving that forward to make sure we do have that connection. And for us and those of our customers that use our technology, you know, with social recognition, continuous check-ins, as we've talked about, that's obviously a brilliant way to do that. And we continue to do that, of course. But there's new nuances, I suppose, in how those future ways of working are evolving as well. And so, yeah, one must look at it from certainly the company's perspective, from the leader's perspective, and absolutely from an employee's perspective as well.
Niamh, one last question. I saw a parody recently, and it was a parody of First Day at School for kids, and it was kids bringing their parents back to the office, and the associated crying at the doors, etc. Do organizations now need to re-onboard people, or how are you guys are approaching that, or what would your advice be around that?
Yes, absolutely. So, and reintroducing, I suppose, our employees that we had before COVID. So they've not been in our offices for a year and a half. And so where is the coffee machine? Where is the wellness room? What time is yoga on, and so on? So definitely working on a program to re-onboard and reintroduce everybody back to the workplace. Hopefully there won't be any tears at the front door, Declan. It feels like, and that's one of the reasons why we didn't want, you know, one specific day to welcome everybody back, because we were kind of feeling that did feel like the first day at school for adults. You'd have, you know, not only children have gone back to school, for those who have children, I don't think there was much separation anxiety from a lot of parents after living with them and doing homeschooling, but there might be some pet separation anxiety, potentially those people who have got and pets over the course of the period. But I think, yeah, absolutely, it's very much about, you know, how do I use the copier? What is my access fob to the building activated? And, you know, where is everybody sitting and all of that? So yeah, working on all of that. We're actually working on a kind of a pre-virtual tour of our building, and we're actually expanding our building facilities as well, so much so that we're creating new wellness zones, new fitness zones, so that people, we're creating a home away from home atmosphere here, in terms of, you know, food, fitness and fun. Absolutely, we've listened to our employees and we're incorporating that, but one of the things we're going to do is a virtual kind of prep, so that employees can get to see those who haven't been here a long time and those that have joined the organization in the last year and a half, so that they get to see our space actually before coming in, and hopefully that'll give a level of comfort and excitement and create excitement, looking forward to coming back into the office. So I think get that first time getting into the car and doing the distance and getting into the work clothes again, it'll take a little bit of getting used to, but I think once people have gotten through that over the course of the first number of weeks, I would say, and again, going at your own pace is really important. People are at different places. But I think once people get back together, there's nothing like, you know, in-person conversation. There's nothing like having a coffee together and having a chat. And, you know, so many conversations and so much work gets done in the stairwells or in the cafe and things like that. So productivity, is completely different from some of those conversations, decision making that can happen in the moment. And it's those impromptu moments, I think, that a lot of people have missed, and a lot of people are looking forward to getting back together, reuniting in person like the old days.
Agreed. Niamh, thanks so much for your time today. If someone wants to get in contact with WorkHuman, what's the best way to go about that?
Well, our website, workhuman.com, is probably the best way, whether you're looking for a career change or whether you're looking to check out our culture or our technology, absolutely workhuman.com.
Brilliant. Niamh, thanks so much.
Thank you, Declan.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.